What's up?
What's going on? All right, everybody. Welcome to the SFL Season 1, Episode 2 podcast. Today's topic, trades and waiver wire transaction patterns for each of our SFL owners. We got a special guest today, the guru, the man, the myth, the legend, the chief. What's going on, chief?
What's up, dog? I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on. This will be fun. Brother.
I got to do a good job on keeping these names secretive so we don't accidentally spill the beans on who actually sucks in our league. So I did another invite to somebody, so we might have a surprise guest speaker on here. I don't want to ruin the fun for you. But
all right, we'll see.
All right. So basically today we're gonna go through should be short. We're just gonna kind of describe the historic patterns that we've seen in these last 6-7 years of some of these owners that we have, or all the owners that we have in the SFL, from transactions to trades. And you're getting a little bit of perspective from me, who's cocky, arrogant, and sometimes doesn't see reality the way it is because it's lonely at the top. And then we'll get the chief, who actually has the guru experience and provides good insight on his own podcast. You'll see IDP 411. All right, so with number one, let's go with the rook. What do you think about the rook, the rookie of the league?
Well, you know, here's my thing with the rook.
I hope you got your drink.
You know me, I'm about transactions. Oh, I do got me a drink. I'm always ready. I always sip them. So back to the rook. You know, he's a new guy, hence the rook. But I'm about transactions. There's 5 or 6 that people that are like really, really big on transactions. And he's not one of them. Maybe we need to give him some, maybe he doesn't even know how to process a pickup and, you know, drop in waiver here. Maybe that's the problem.
Maybe give him some transaction 101.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we're looking at. I mean, that's the biggest problem, you know, and all about people doing some transactions. I didn't see this dude communicating. I mean, I actually sent him a trade a while back, and it took him to the deadline to either reject it or not reject it. And I'm talking like an hour prior to it being, it being revoked on its own, because I actually forgot about it. And I was doing a trade with somebody else, and boom, and I was like, hey, man, are you going to look at this trade? Oh, I haven't even looked at it. But bro, it's been 4 days.
Yeah, I think that's another thing that you tend to see. I know he's a rook, but even without the rooks, we tend to see some people that don't necessarily check their trades regularly. They don't get the notification. Maybe you and I need to teach them how to set up the notifications where they get a text when they get a trade offer, so they could respond right
until
away.
They realize how much. Well, until they realize how much you and me do transactions, then I guess they'll be.
Oh,
not want to do that anymore.
Speaking of, I put that buzz on Damian Williams' drop and add real fast because I know you pay attention. I didn't know if you were trying to target him to pick him back up. But yeah.
No, I'm doing another trade right now, so we'll see what
works
out.
Good luck with that. Maybe we'll get to that player, that team owner soon. But yeah, with the rook, I mean, he drafted well. He went all in on offense before he started to touch his defense, and he actually ended up still getting a 3-down linebacker and Todd Davis, and we'll see how they use Hightower with all those. I believe it's Hightower with the Patriots. I'm kind of eyeing Bentley. I think Bentley might step up into that 3-down role. So we'll see how his defense sets, but when you look at his secondary, it's brutal with all those cornerbacks, and we've given them that one-on-one training to say, hey, you need to start either trading or just picking up some safeties, because all cornerbacks is you're going to have some games where you get 2.5 points for both of them combined.
Hey, I'm okay with it as long as it's playing me.
Yeah, he is in our division, so I'm not complaining too much. But he's going to be learning the hard way if he doesn't figure out how to do that add drop button. All right, so now we're going to go on to Wall Street. So remember, Wall Street hit up the first year we recommenced. He made it all the way to the championship. And if it wasn't for a blown bicep by AJ Green, All he needed was one catch. He needed 1 point, and he lost the championship. So he definitely drafts well. I feel like he lives and dies by the draft. I mean, have you ever seen him trade before?
I haven't, which is weird. I mean, I know that I've sent some, and I think that I even got a message back like, oh, you know, I'm kind of happy with my draft, and, you know, I'm just going to see how it's going to play out. I'm like, wow. Because when I look at it, you know, and honestly got a decent team, but obviously everybody's got holes, you know, and you'll see the people who do transactions a lot try to fill those holes somewhere, even if it's just making up a point here and there, you know, for the week.
Because every point
when
counts.
You don't make any transactions, yeah, for sure. And my biggest problem, I would say my biggest problem last year was I almost felt like I was too deep, and so I would, you know, make a decision on whether or not I was going to start somebody or not, and it would be the wrong decision, maybe by 20 points sometimes. And I mean, I lost 6 games last year, or like 4 games last year in our division. That could have been the other way if I started somebody
else.
Yeah,
and keep in mind, you were defending defending runner-up. So you had just went to the championship with that same roster.
Yeah, I changed it quite a bit too. I wish I had 1 or 2 of those trades back, obviously. But overall, like, I mean, I can't gripe about what people do. You know, it's their opinion. But I'm a person who likes transactions in a league, especially in the off season when – well, what else have we got going on right now?
What else is going on?
They just had a players meeting today, and, you know, it looks like they're going to push forward on the season.
Looks like they're starting on
time. A lot less fans in the stands.
Yeah, I saw something weird. Like, they're going to cover up the first, like, 10 rows or something with advertisements and stuff. A little weird.
So basically, they're going to be the XFL.
Yeah, yeah, except this one will stay afloat. Yeah, so Wall Street's got a good team. Occasionally, you feel like one good thing about all 12 of these people is they all communicate really well to all of us if we reach out to them via text. Wall Street's all about baiting you in. I think he finds pleasure in it with his little money tag, with his little billions that he rakes in every year. I think he finds pleasure in the treating us like scum, and we think we're going to get something, and he goes, nah, I'm good. And that,
like, yeah, just kind of little
teasing you.
And then, nah, I'm not going to do
that.
Yeah.
But he makes it some years. He's got a decent team. He lives and dies by his draft. He does draft well. And I feel like the, because of his ability to draft well, he's successful some years, but obviously he misses out on the playoffs on other years. So, like, once again, start making those transactions happen. I'm not saying you got to trade, but at least improve your team for a couple points here and there every week. Those points matter.
Yep.
Okay. So now, man, Chief, what the hell happened to the fireman? Where is he now? All of a sudden I looked down and the first lady took over his team. It's like, rest in peace, fireman.
Well. Rest in peace. I mean, obviously, you know, you don't know what's going to happen with people in their personal lives and what's going on. And some people, especially as much shit as we talk, you know, on the group me and, you know, our chat and stuff like that, I don't know if it's necessarily like you just don't want to do transactions on your team, or are you worried that you've got too much stuff going on personally. Now, let's be real. It's fantasy football. If you're going to get bent up about it, maybe you don't need to be here anyway. So, hence the first lady taken back over with, like, I don't know, 7, you know, like a ton of players. I mean, from the same team, which is funny because she had that before, but she had a solid group before on last year's team. You know, I mean, when you're talking about the group that she had last
Russell
year,
Russell Wilson
and I'll
Bobby
give you,
Wagner,
I think she had KJ Wright too.
She loved her Seahawks.
I mean, she had a ton of Seahawks. Yeah,
Chris Carson.
And she does love her.
She had Tyler Lockett. So obviously, she lived and died. When she made the playoffs, it was the success of that offense. When she didn't make the playoffs, they fell apart.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and you have that when if you love your team and you ride your team in a fantasy aspect, do you I like to have a lot of dispersion in fantasy because that way I can watch both sides of the game. I'm not living and dying by my fantasy team, also wanting to throw stuff at the TV because of my actual team is struggling.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, maybe they're blown up. And that's my biggest reason why, you know, I can't have more than like two players or on a fantasy team that are of the
Yeah,
same team
absolutely.
because you live and die by it.
I hear you, man. And you know what's funny is we've already seen this season what she's done in the matter of weeks that she took over. And hats off to Fireman. I appreciate everything he does and his sacrifice to keep his city safe as a fireman and everything, and newborn at, and so I understand you got to step away from things, but we had the first lady fill right back in, and she's been a part of this process. She's welcome and she's very successful when you compare her to, I think the chef has the worst winning percentage at like a 30% win share. So, but they got a lot of similarities, which is really interesting because, First Lady really never had a wide receiver. And we talk about Tyler Lockett, and he really just started to emerge recently, right? But he's still up and down. The chef never had that number one wide receiver. And the same with the running backs. And now here you go, and all of a sudden, on some people's rankings, you got for the First Lady, you got Kenyon Drake is a top 10 running back ranked. You got Zeke Elliott. And while Zeke seems like he's been in the year for Are in the league for 10 years. He's only what, 24, 25, 24?
Yeah,
He's
he's
still young.
young.
I know he's got miles on him.
And he ain't got a ton of miles on him. You gotta think about this. He had what, a 4-game suspension? He had a 2-game suspension. He
All I
was
know
he
is
held out for
St.
a
Paddy's
couple.
Day, I want to party with that dude.
Oh yeah, that dude, he be getting
Rooftop
down,
parties, he
bro.
knows what's up.
He's crazy. Yeah, he gets down. And I mean, not something I'm trying to I try to get on this dude's level, but honestly, I'm really shocked they re-signed him. As much trouble as he's been off
And you
the
got
field.
Tony Pollard sitting right there, and we talk about ad drops, things that you should be doing. I don't know why you wouldn't be picking up Tony Pollard in one of the best offenses in the NFL right now. He's one of the major
Well,
handcuffs right there.
yeah, he is a major handcuff for sure, and that's almost surprising he's
Yeah.
still there. But I mean, again, everybody can say, oh, the season hasn't started. Listen, let's just follow what has happened over the last however many years. All it takes is one tweak injury for your entire season to go down. And I mean, let's be real. If let's just pick a quarterback.
Low, let's do my quarterback.
Yeah, let's
Let's
do
do
your
Lamar
quarterback. You,
Jackson.
I mean, you live and die by Lamar. I mean, what do you had? I mean, 500 and something points last year. Almost. I mean, some stupid numbers. It's like 600 points, especially in our league. You know, if a running quarterback is something that you want to have. However, once they key in on it and you get the right spy on that guy, it could be dangerous. I mean, think about how athletic players are now these days. And you put, I don't know if they play the Cardinals this year,
Well, let's look just in
but if I
division.
have Isaiah Simmons,
You're
in
seeing the
division, I'm
Bengals
ready.
start drafting linebackers. I know you host podcasts on IDP. What's the individual's name that is coming a later round? Not Logan Wilson, but the K, he's got the initials that everybody calls him.
Woo! Akiem
That
Davis
boy is
Gaither.
fast, and he reminds me of Jordan Brooks from Texas Tech that
Bruh.
went to Seattle Seahawks. So they're obviously drafting to stop Lamar. And so it's bound to happen. They're going to scheme him. They're going to slow him down. You're right. You're right. Doesn't mean I'm trading him, though.
I love Gaither. And I think he's going to get his shot. I think he's going to. I would love to see that spy. But you also look at other things. You know, look what the Browns are doing. You know, the Browns went young, like super young at linebacker, you know, because they know that they've got quarterbacks in their league that are going to run probably.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. You look at different aspects like that. You know, you got to get a guy. I mean, not everybody has a Buda Baker that can, you know, lock down George Kittle or something Absolutely. Like that. You got to get a guy that. But like I said, Lamar. If Lamar goes down, I would tell you. I think if you still have him on your team, you don't have a really good backup. You're
oh yeah.
In trouble.
Oh yeah. There's a couple of people out there. You've seen me roster. You've seen me roster the mustache, and I'll put it out there. I think everybody knows I like him, and if he gets picked up, I'll probably start sweating bullets. The thing that's on my side is that we have these new roster position limits, which the majority of us voted for to change. Oh. It's brutal, but at the same time, it's easy to put in that strategy of knowing that everybody except for me and the chef have – two quarterbacks, and you're maxed out two quarterbacks. So I know what's out there right now. No one can pick up unless they want to sacrifice their own. So it's still in the off season. A lot of people love the quarterbacks that they had and they want to sit and wait. So probably before preseason starts, you might see me snag Minshew back up or maybe I'm baiting it right now to see what idiot's going to drop their Dak Prescott. And I'll tell you,
Neither one of my guys is going away unless I trade them.
There you go.
I have high hopes for Baker Mayfield. I think he's going to be a 32-10 guy this year, and I'm kind of sticking to that. We're talking about, especially with who they have, and then Kyler Murray is a freak.
Yeah,
athlete.
We're going to sidebar that. We're going to finish off with the Kyler Murray when we get down to you and me at the end, because. That's an interesting prospect. You know I love Kyler Murray, so I'm not putting it out that I won't get him at the end of the day. Not today, but the end of what day? Someday. Someday, baby.
Maybe.
So maybe. I'm looking at First Lady. So since she took over, which was only it wasn't that long ago. I mean, we're sitting on the 25th of June.
2 weeks
right now,
ago,
right?
Maybe.
And she made the first transaction on June 17th with me, and she actually had a ton of offers come in. A lot of people are reaching for Zeke, rightfully.
Well, yeah,
so,
but
right
I mean, look at the difference. I mean, you're talking about a person that's actually willing to trade, and, you know, at least listen to somebody to where somebody wasn't willing to trade. 100%
agree.
I mean,
and she's made three trades since the 17th. We're sitting here not even 10 days past that, and she's made three trades. And so she got a real steady veteran defensive tackle. She picked up with the Godfather trade. What I'm seeing is she gave up AJ Green, who's technically a wide receiver one, technically, but the dude didn't play last year. And she got to strengthen her wide receiver depth with Darius Slayton, second year sophomore breakout candidate, and then Mike Williams, who's a potential toss up Tyrod Taylor type of wide receiver that he likes. So I think she did really well in improving her team right there and identifying her weaknesses. And then she finished a trade. She didn't get her Bobby Wagner. You know, she started right away trying to get Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, Russell Wilson, Wagner. But she got her KJ Wright. And like she said, she understands that he potentially could be playing Sam, but she's willing to risk that he's going to play that weak side first and get Jordan Brooks acclimated just due to these restrictions with COVID. Not allowing him to get up to speed, but she gave up a pretty penny for KJ Wright. Shaq Barrett coming off 19 and a half sacks. But sometimes you got to sacrifice, and the fantasy guys love that.
I will tell you, I think both players lost that trade.
Oh, so I
think it was better for one of them on where they were, because she has the, you know, she has the room to make that move. And technically he does too, but he didn't really need to make that move at all. And I like dispersion, like I tell you, and I think KJ Wright for his team compared to KJ Wright for her team was a better position. Now that goes in the fact, and that's just my opinion, obviously. And you love who you love. I definitely overpaid for Kenneth Murray, but I mean, I only buy one or two jerseys a year, and I already bought that jersey. He wasn't on my team, so I can't. I can't be telling somebody, oh, I can't be cheering for somebody, especially if he's going against me that week wearing his damn jersey.
And, you know,
jersey,
sometimes
so.
The fantasy gods don't necessarily want you to go off stats. They want you to go with heart. And when you know it's the Chargers and the number is 5-6 that he's putting on, let's put the two and two together, right?
Bro.
Let's put the two and two together.
Yeah.
So First Lady's doing her thing. She's starting off hot. I'm pretty proud of her. And
it ain't going to stop from – with her, I mean, because she's the only female here. But if you know her, she gets it. So I mean,
but she's spicy herself.
I mean, obviously, I've known her longer than everybody else, but it's been she's hilarious.
Absolutely.
Bro. So
all right, so now we're gonna go off to the pen is mightier. Our co-commish, fellow stud, went the second year with Blake Bortles. He's a big Jags fan, but here he's. He's tough. He's tough.
I have a question. Did you bait him into that trade because of Fournette?
Okay, so quick story for the podcast, folks. He had Dalvin Cook. I had Leonard Fournette, and I had Odell Beckham. He also had Christian Kirk. So the trade was Leonard Fournette, Odell Beckham to him, and what I got was Dalvin Cook, Christian Kirk. Long story short, I got the news that Dalvin Cook was doing his holdout. I dropped Zach Moss. I picked up Madison right away. So we were talking about Tony Pollard and Madison. Those two handcuffs and two of the most prolific offenses for fantasy football purposes to running backs. And then they also have the skill to continue that production if they step into that lead role. We're not talking about CMC's backup. We're talking about the Vikings and the Cowboys. I picked up Madison. I took a chance on saying goodbye to Zach Moss and picked him up, and I kept trying to trade him. What was I doing? I was trying to trade him Madison and then also getting a wide receiver out of it. And he's like, no, I'm stuck. I'm stubborn. I'm only going to give you Philip Lindsay. Right now it should be even trade. But whenever Cook actually signs that franchise or that long-term contract, Madison's not going to have any value when you compare him to Philip Lindsay, and I'm only bringing this up. I don't like to talk behind closed door trades, but he has 100% point on standalone value right now between Melvin Gordon, who I also had Melvin Gordon. I traded him later. Melvin Gordon, Philip Lindsay have absolute standalone value. I think both of them produce certain points and will be pretty steady in their own realm of things being on the same team. And that was his argument. I'm not going to give up everything for a backup running back. And I just thought, I was like, what if I asked for Dalvin Cook? And he's a Jags fan, and this is where you're talking about baiting him in, right? He's a Jags fan, and Leonard Fournette is a workhorse running back. And he had a lot of receptions last year, and the discussions is obvious with bringing in Chris Thompson and Jay Gruden, I believe, is the new coach, is his receptions are going to die off. But the dude only had 3 rushing touchdowns last year. That's going to increase. It's going to increase. So his points per game is probably going to be near the same. And then he also got his wide receiver one. Odell Beckham's absolutely the best wide receiver on his team right now when you look at his roster. And I think that gave
you you say that's going to change, right? Here's where I disagree with you. Look who his offensive coordinator is. How many elite running back rushing numbers have you seen out of
was Jay Gruden the coach whenever Alfred Morris was the rook? Who was the coach for them then? Was it
a Shanahan? Wasn't it?
Oh, maybe you're right then.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting.
I love Minshew in the aspect that Jay Gruden's the coach. Because he spreads the ball, he flies. I mean, the question is, and Leonard Fournette has talked, he's kind of been like Yannick, man. He's been talking about how he wants to kind of be out the door, like I'm ready to go. I mean, that's just the whole team, it seems like. I mean, Dermot started with.
But they did pick up his option.
Corner, Jet Ramsey. Yeah, but that's just an option, man. It just means I can trade him. Yeah. He's got a lot of miles, man. He had a lot of miles at LSU.
A lot of miles.
He's a pounder.
Oh, I see him. I saw him run over my Aggies. That's for sure.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what they get out of him. It's hard to get an Adrian Peterson, you know, mileage running back out of any running back. I mean, you're not going to get Adrian Peterson, Frank Gore these days. It's just not happening.
The type of offenses that are ran nowadays too. I completely agree with you.
Yeah,
but so he makes his trades. He rarely does transactions. He's that one that proves if you don't do transactions, you don't do trades all the time, you can still win it all. And he proved it. You can't say anything otherwise, you know. And he's consistently competing for playoff spots. And just got to make sure you submit that active lineup. Don't be submitting inactive players, Penn is mightier. Or you'll miss the playoffs. Yeah.
It was an interesting trade both sides with that one. Again, like you brought up that thing. And, I might have voiced my opinion on that one. But, again, it was my opinion. I mean,
that's what makes it fun.
But here's the thing. If we're going to – it's kind of – dude, let's be real. The roster limits sucks. It makes it so much tougher.
So brutal, man.
But thing is, how – it makes you really – figure out like, hey, I got to sacrifice in a few places to have some depth, because let's be real. How quick did Danny Trevathan go down last year, or Bradley Chubb, or Von Miller, or I mean, you, Patrick Mahomes going down for weeks.
Yeah. I hated that one. No, you're right, man. And I know we got some things going on with this COVID-19, how we're going to deal with the IR spots. But for the most part, we only have two IR spots available if these guys go on IR. But if they're not an IR candidate and they're just injured and inactive for a few weeks, what do you do? What happens if you have Patrick Mahomes who injures his ankle and your second quarterback was Lamar Jackson last year? Because Lamar Jackson got drafted late, right? So the possibility of you having both of those quarterbacks on a team last year, it could be pretty decent of a possibility. And if we're dealing that with our league today, and nobody wants to trade for Patrick Mahomes just to get you a goose egg, like, what do you do? What do you do? Are you forced? What do you do? And that's the challenge as being as co-commissioners. It's a challenge for us to try to,
especially in the last year of, well, especially in that aspect, it was the last year. So everybody's trying to make the championship because it's a new redraft year this year. So you had to make a decision. How are you going to do this? That's why having a little depth. But I mean, like you said, you could have three quarterbacks on your team last year. You can only have two this year.
Only have two.
So,
and there are. Quarterback there for every position, there's players available out there that we're all eyeing, and that's why we're willing to sacrifice in some of these unique trades now that we haven't seen elsewhere. It's almost impossible to do a one for one, but if you do via different position, it means that there's depth out there to pick up, and years past there might not have been that depth at certain positions. So anyways, I think he definitely does his transactions wisely, and he makes it's calculated, and it works to his advantage for the most part when he makes his trades. Rarely does he lose the trades, except for last year when he traded freaking George Kittle and Devontae Adams to the Jayhawk, and that's what allowed the Jayhawk to beat me, even though Jayhawk was 3-0 against me. I feel like that was
the year. Made some monster moves. And I told him he made the moves for that to happen.
Blockbuster right there. All right, so we're going to switch over to the golfer. I feel like the golfer, he is probably the most active. And you're pretty active. I'm pretty active. I think the Godfather's pretty active. But the golfer, absolutely, his motto is, it is what it is. And we're talking – I'm going to trade DeAndre Hopkins when he played with the Texans for a holdout Le'Veon Bell, because I know Le'Veon Bell is going to sign. No, he didn't. And you missed the playoffs, right? So he lives and dies by transaction. He's got the itch like we do, and almost to a fault, but here this season, it's come back around to where his team's he's almost the front runner to win our division right now. But he's I'm looking at it and I'm kind of scared. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I'll agree with you. I love his transactions. I love that he gets after it, you know what I mean? That it's fun because, I mean, obviously I've done a lot of trades with him, even because we were both rookies in this league 2 years ago, and my first trade was with him. And I think my second or third trade with him is I gave him DeAndre Hopkins for something, you know, ridiculous. I think I got like a second round draft pick and something else, maybe a first round draft pick for the following year and something else. And then when he went and traded him for Le'Veon Bell, I was shocked. I mean, I was like, what are you doing? At least I got a premier player and a draft pick for this guy. And you did what with him? I mean, it literally killed him maybe, you know, for the next 2 years. Because he missed the playoffs then, and it hurt him the following year.
And that's what his motto was then. I'm just going to wait for the redraft because I came in and I bought this team that was already depleted. He kind of did it to himself. But right now he's definitely holding strong. The dude's got nine trades.
He drafted
trades.
Well, for sure.
He drafted well, and he's got 9 trades and 6 waiver wire transactions since May 12th of this year. That's absolutely insane.
Let's hear those trades.
Absolutely insane.
Let's say those trades. What are
those trades? We got – so the most recent one he got – he gave you Hayden Hurst. No. You gave him Hayden Hurst, Tremaine Edmonds, and Jalen Smith. And this is where we're talking about your Kenneth Murray and your love for. He gave you Tyler Higbee, Kenneth Murray, and Bobby Wagner, Bobby Swag. Old man Swag is still – I mean, he led the league in tackles last year, if I'm not mistaken. So
Well, that thing, you want to talk, you know me, I'm a floor guy.
Absolutely.
When I got a floor guy that has had 120 plus tackles every year, I don't care what his age is. Okay. Ray Lewis played till he's 37 at a high level. Marvin Harrison played at a high level too. He was what, 40? I mean, that dude was ridiculous. I mean, but.
And you play the game, you play the game to win now. Yeah. What are you going to do right now?
And I think you have to.
Yeah.
So, it was a good trade for him. I fleeced him in a trade not too long back. I made it right because I fleeced him too much.
You absolutely did. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about making it right.
Okay.
So your trade, what was it again?
So I took John Johnson, Tremaine Edmonds, and
– Sony Michel.
Somebody else.
You had
Sony Michel for David Johnson. I gave him David Johnson.
You gave him that rookie safety from Cleveland.
Grant Delpit.
Yeah. And Devondre Campbell for the Cardinals. And this was post NFL draft, so we already knew Isaiah Simmons was there too.
Yeah. I gave him Devondre Campbell. So now, I'm a little higher on Devondre Campbell than probably I know everybody in our league. But I knew, and I told everybody before the season started last year, he was going to outperform Deion Jones. I actually won a $500 bet on it. And the first game, the guy was like, oh, well, see, my man got 5 solo tackles and 5 assists. I said, I don't care which you see first week against Minnesota, who runs the ball 60%.
Screen plays, 60-70% absolutely, game. Yeah.
Yeah, I expect Deion Jones to have a good game. I said, when it's all said and done, that money's mine. And by week 13, he said, well, I'm giving this money away because he couldn't catch it. And I knew what I was making a bet on with Devondre Campbell. And, I mean, that $500 paid for every single league that I played in, you know. So it was worth it to me. So I like the move by Arizona to go get them. The thing about Isaiah Simmons is, nobody on the planet expected him to be available for the Arizona Cardinals. And when you're in the draft and, you know, you're at the point where, like, you get best player available, you get the best player available.
Absolutely get the best player available.
I mean, it was just – and he drops to them at number 7. They got to take him. I mean, when you know that you're probably taking a lineman to protect your, you know, star quarterback, but Isaiah Simmons is there, bro, let's do this, and maybe we can make a transaction later or get the second best lineman that we like. And they end up doing that anyway. So, yeah, that's what happened there. But
they had a good draft.
You know, they're not exactly young either. Yeah, they're not exactly young either on the linebacker.
So I know
– Jordan Hicks is not
– That's true. And I know a lot of people – like you said, you're one of the only ones, but the golfer's one of those same ones. And that's what makes trades amazing is that we value players differently. And as a commish and as the co-commish, Penn is mightier, we will allow every trade to go down. And if we suspect the collusion, we'll kick you out. But these 12 owners, we're all big family, and I feel like that will never, ever be the case. So if you're an idiot and you decide because you value somebody, that's your loss. But I think a lot of the slack, everybody was giving him grief about getting that rookie safety who, quote-unquote, can't tackle. And then given
that quote-unquote safety that can't tackle won the Jim
exactly, Corporal. Right? So. And so he – it's like, well, you gave up John freaking Johnson. And I think when we talk about circling back to what you said originally is I helped make it right. In 5 days, you ended up giving him Jabril Peppers, who I personally am extremely high on playing. I know Xavier McKinney's there, but I still think Jabril Pepper holds that that strong safety role, and that breeds IDP points. And you saw before he went down, he was just dominating. So I really think that was pretty good. I look back at some of the transactions. This isn't just about trades, but I look back at some of the transactions, and I want to say Dad Bod messed up with dropping Devin White 1 week, and I picked him up right away, or it was a trade, and he said, hey, I absolutely messed up on that. And I completely understood it, and I gave it right back to him. And it's nice to have that assurance. So we talk about what makes a good league. It's having that awareness and still being understand and having that compassion to make it better.
All it takes, you know, for me to somebody say, like, listen, man, I think you really got me over on this one. And if somebody talks you into you getting over, sure. But if it's totally on my decision, and he was perfectly fine with it overall, he even said that I got him. But I'm not – that's not who I am. Like, you know what, let's make this
right. It's not about who got who.
But I'm not going
to – Absolutely.
Yeah. I said, I'll take every single player back. I don't have a problem with that. I said, but if you want to make it right, I'll give you Jabril and you can have him. I don't hold Jabril Peppers near as high. A neck injury for a safety scares the crap out of
me. So it could absolutely come back and come back in his face. I mean, you look at the trade between us last year with the whole Jameis Winston debacle, and we reversed that. And then Jameis Winston ended up going off the last few weeks for the playoffs and everything for the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah.
And so things can turn around and be like, wow, it might make you second guess even doing the reversal. So maybe Jabril Peppers, maybe the fantasy guys look heavily in your favor by offering him those services. And well, when you look at your team right now, it looks like.
What happened there? We can blend them later.
Well, it looks like we got a time limit on some of these recordings. That thing crapped itself out, but we're about halfway through, so we can finish up. This is part two of we were just talking about potentially going back on trades to help out if they feel like there was a one-up, but I feel like we ended well on that, so we're gonna move on to the next person, the man, the myth, the legend, the one that makes this poster of this podcast so legendary, the Dad Bod. Quite possibly, even though he doesn't have the worst winning percentage that the chef has, he's probably the worst fantasy football player I've ever played with of all time.
I've definitely had worse players that I've played with. I've watched somebody, and this is the real thing, I watched them go 7-0. Sorry, I watched them go 5-0 last year in another league, and they were talking all this shit, and I'm like, listen, do you realize you have the hardest schedule on the planet coming up, and you have a dog shit team. They went on to lose 7 games, which was awesome, by
the
way.
That's hilarious. You have to look ahead. You have to look ahead.
Yeah. And
let me guess, what were his transactions and trades as he was 7-0?
It was 5-0 when it was going on, and nothing.
Exactly. Never settle.
Yep. And thing is you look at the teams that he played in the lineups, and every single person that you know they won by, it was by like a point or two. And I'm like, okay, you literally played the worst group of the 12 people in this league, and then we know that you played the highest scoring guys coming up. And I was like 3-3 at this time with the highest scoring in that league. And I end up running the table and getting to the championship game and won by 6 points in the championship game. Another league, I did the same thing and took second. And in our league, you know, you want to see somebody like the dad bod make a move that he's – but I think a lot of times he tries to get more than he needs to try to get. I mean, and this is a real thing, and I love him. But he sent me a six – he sent me a 6-for-6 trade the other day. Listen, man, I am the king of blockbuster trades. And there's no way I'm getting rid of 6 players out of the 26 that I have. Because,
well, ladies and gentlemen, the SFL, you now know what the ceiling is for the Chief on what his 5 players are below. 5 players are below.
And thing is, I did a 5 player thing last year with who was it? Not the pen is mightier. Maybe it was. Who had Thomas last year?
Who had Michael Thomas?
Yes.
I know I had finished with him.
Yeah.
No, I traded him. Was it the chef?
It was the chef. 100% was the chef. So made the original trade for him, and I know for a fact that we did 5 people. And I was like, okay, this is probably ridiculous. And honestly, probably the reason I lost, I dropped. But again, I had a love for a player that I didn't really need at the time. But – and I think this is where the problem – and I think right now he's got an okay team. I think there's definite holes at safety for the dad bod.
When this is what happens when you draft Darius Leonard in the second round.
Yes, in the second round. Okay,
worst moves of all time.
I love Darius Leonard, right? But all it takes is this dude to get a concussion, and he might decide to hang up.
And the dude misses games.
I mean, he was gone for what, 3
weeks? The dude misses games. It was an ankle injury. He had an ankle injury. He missed some games. He had a concussion. He missed some games.
Yeah, so and don't get me wrong.
Are we going to see a Chris Darius Borland
Leonard
in him?
Is the number one. Oh, bro, can you believe that? Chris Borland was the truth.
Truth.
Right? Patrick Willis. Patrick Willis retired at 30 because, well, just didn't want to
do it. The Jim Brown of linebackers. Retired at 20.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking – all it takes is for somebody to realize, like, you know what? I've got millions, and I don't want to do the CTE, and – I'm done. And that's what Chris Borland happened with Chris Borland. Don't get me wrong. I love him, and I think he is the number one linebacker in the
NFL. Absolutely. And could be the rest of the next 5 years if he stays healthy. So are you saying because he drafted him in the second round and he's got so many gaps because of it that he should trade him so that way he could even up his team and improve on his total points per game?
Well, I will tell you this. I offered him a trade that was more than fair. For Darius Leonard just this last week, and it involved a little more than he needed for help, especially at the running back position and the safety position. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's going away real soon because I have 3 offers on the table for 2 people I offered him. And I will almost bet that I probably do this trade tonight. Which is a blockbuster.
Dude, I'm sitting by waiting to approve that trade as co-commish, man.
We've been discussing it. But like I said, you know, I think that he would have been there. He probably would have been there with his 4th pick, right? Because who was the next guy gone after that?
Well, let's look it up real fast. I'm over here in transactions.
I'm almost positive that I drafted a linebacker second.
So we're over here looking at – dude, he drafted him at the first pick of the second round. Then you had Kyler Murray. You picked Kyler Murray that second pick. And then it started going to the Josh Jacobs. Yeah. And then you started to see the top tight ends go. And
yeah. And I understand he might not have been there at the end of the third. But I really think he
would have. But was it needed, right? So if we look at
– No. If you look at most –
He drafted Derrick Henry right away. You still had a top-tier wide receiver in Tyreek Hill. You had a top-tier
– Oh, yeah.
A top-tier tight end, and tight ends have that degree of separation. I know Darius Leonard has a degree of separation. But when you think of offense and historically average draft positions of the first defensive player off the board, you're looking at like round 8 or 9, right? And we all knew that probably round 3 to 5, we'd probably get that Darius Leonard off the board. But round two, pick one, it's jaw dropping for sure.
What if you look at the point difference between Corey Littleton and Darius Leonard last year? It was 30 points, I believe.
So Littleton was 22 points in our league, and Darius dropped down to probably 28.
Well, he was 28, and the thing is, he had two monster games. So
yep, because he had several several under 20-point games. You're right.
Yeah, he had some mediocre games, and that'll happen
because you're next to Anthony really Walker, who's not a bad linebacker by any means.
Anthony Walker is a solid player, but I'm gonna tell you, watch out this year with what they've done, you know, on that offensive line or defensive line, you know, adding DeForest Buckner, adding they've added Justin Houston, who's now acclimated to the defense.
Yeah, year two for Justin Houston. You, I think year two.
And you like me, I'm a middle linebacker guy instead of an outside linebacker guy. Very few true outside linebackers. And we're not talking about rush defensive ends. I'm talking about outside linebackers. Put up those numbers. And I will take me a floor of Corey Littleton at 22 points and get those 40-point games here and there behind, which, let's be real, he had a pretty solid defensive line himself with Joey Bosa in front of him. And him going over to the Raiders, bro, give me all of Corey Littleton.
Not Joey Bosa, Aaron Donald.
Sorry, Aaron Donald, which is even scarier, absolutely. Right? So
absolutely.
Yeah, so I just looked at small stuff like that. It was a reach. I will continue to say it was a reach because I think he would have been there with his third pick.
Absolutely.
Because I don't –
He could have been because I
wasn't – I don't think I picked a linebacker until the fourth or fifth.
Absolutely. I wanted to hit up that offense as much as I could. Especially after taking a wide quarterback in the first round.
I picked right in front of him, and I think my picks were Joe Mixon, Kyler Murray. My third pick was Miles Sanders or Juju Smith-Schuster. It was one of those guys. So and those were my first four. So I didn't even take a linebacker till the fifth round, and I had Jalen Smith and Corey Littleton that I drafted.
And that goes to show you right there. Did he draft too early when you can get round five, which is what we all predicted would probably be the time to start taking those IDP guys here and there?
Yeah.
You definitely were able to build more depth on the offensive realm.
Yeah, I think he could have got him in the fourth. And I think that – and honestly, I still think he has a pretty decent team. Yeah. But I think – it's because of some top end, because I don't even know who his quarterbacks are. Oh, he has Russell Wilson, which.
But Russell Wilson had some under 20-point games. But
Russell Wilson is solid.
But I am not a fan of Russell Wilson.
No, so I like Russell Wilson, but I'm going to tell you this. Do you love him in Dynasty?
No.
Because 2 years ago, he almost got traded to the Browns for the first pick in the draft. So there's that.
Yeah. So. We'll see. We'll see what he can do. I know he does do transactions. He does trades. Does he just do it right? And that's kind of what we started off with. So we'll move on to the chef. Now the chef, man, this guy can make some food. I know First Lady is a great cook, and one day maybe we can get the chef and the First Lady together and do a cook-off. But the chef, a 33% win percentage here. I know he's got another dynasty league that's on the offensive realm, no IDP players, and he wins pretty regularly. So the guy knows his stuff. He just has not had the luck. And he's never had that true wide receiver one. We said he had Michael Thomas at some point, but he didn't have him for that long of a period if he did. And he traded him right back away. So you're starting to see him hold tough. He drafted Michael Thomas, and he's holding true to his word. He's got some decent running backs too. And right now I'm seeing on the transactions, he's done one trade. He got his another starting running back in Melvin Gordon, who will have probably a safe floor, maybe not a high ceiling. And he gave up – all he gave up was Hollywood Brown, who's got a lot of question marks as the wide receiver one, too, in a run-heavy offense.
Well, I would just agree with that. I think he lost that trade.
And I know some people thought he lost the trade, and time will tell. I'm personally a huge fan of Melvin Gordon.
At all.
When you look at historically the last 5 years, I think Michelle – somebody on Twitter had mentioned the last 5 years, who scored under 10 points, like how many games. And it was like CMC and Zeke scored like two games under 10 points. And then the three games under 10 points, Melvin Gordon's been coupled into that. And you're talking about when he came back from his holdout and he had to go pair up with Austin Eckler and he still was scoring above 10 points. The guy's still impressive. I think a lot of people are scared of these 27-year-old era of running backs and the Melvin Gordons, the Todd Gurley's who still actually have these opportunities that they could shine if they avoid the injury or they take over the roles. Because Philip Lindsay's not a good pass protector. So we know that passing downs are going to be Melvin Gordon on the field. He's the bigger back, so you know the goal lines and the red zones are going to go to Melvin Gordon. So I truly think that at least for this season, we're going to see a lot out of him. And you look at the depth that Hill has at running back, he needed that trade. And the dude is stacked at wide receiver.
He's got a solid wide receiver. He's got a – I don't think his quarterback group is real solid, though, is it? He's got one.
Yeah, he has one. He has who is it? Is it Breeze? He's the one that has one quarterback, just like me, because I remember I picked up Jameis Winston after Drew Breeze made the comments on the flag. Look him up real fast with his roster. So – right now, yeah, he's got Breeze. And his running backs, he still – even after the trade, he still has Mike Evans, Scary Terry, F1, whatever you want to call him, Terry McLaurin. He's got Denzel Mims, who shows promise, that Brandon Ayuk shows promise, and he still has Michael Thomas. And we're talking a league where you only have to play two wide receivers, and Mike Evans, Scary Terry, and Michael Thomas, that's pretty damn good depth for wide receiver. And now he has Melvin Gordon coupled with Aaron Jones, all the while J.K. Dobbins can develop and become the starter for Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, it just sounds, to me, it sounds like he has trade bait for days right now. And that's exactly where I'd be at. I mean, I feel like he's in the position to make some trades if he really wants to improve somewhere.
Yes.
So we'll see what he ends up doing. Yeah. I don't know who's tied in.
And he's got Thaddeus Moss and Darren Waller.
So Darren Waller, I was high on Darren Waller last year, went and got him, and it was like, oh, you're just riding him because of the camp. Like, listen, man, I got a crazy feeling about this, and I think I'm pretty stuck with Darren Waller almost the entire season until the very end. And my thing is they brought in Jason Witten, which
– and improved their wide receiver.
We're not talking – yeah, oh, the wide receiver.
The guy
so
lined up
–
he was lined up as the X.
Yeah.
Not the – he wasn't lined up as a tight end. No. He was lined up as a wide receiver, no. Just classified as a tight end.
That's why
– that's not going to happen this year.
That's why I don't like that. No.
The guy needs to trade for – I'm so with you. I'm so glad you said that. He needs to trade for a tight end. Absolutely needs to trade for a tight end.
So we'll see what he ends up doing. I think that's the move that he can make. we'll see what happens. Yeah, who else you got?
He definitely had a strong draft. So now we have the defending stud, the Jayhawk. I'm a little bitter about this MF-er, to keep it PG. He went 3-0 against me. I had a huge winning record against him. And then last year he beat me 3 times in a row. I feel defeated. I'm kind of scared when I have to play him again in the beginning of the season. The guy is not a fan of low ball offers. And so here I kind of talked to you before we started. It's what do you think about low ball offers and stuff? I feel like it gets the juices flowing. It starts the trade talks. I've seen some talks on Twitter where people enjoy having those day long trade talks and conversations. I know the golfer's pretty big at that. And going back and forth. And then you finally start, you plant that seed in each other's heads and you're like, okay, this is a good trade. Whereas the Jayhawk's all about, nope, give it to me straight. I'm tired of it. I don't want to talk to you. I won't even respond to you if you get to those points. And it goes to show as a person like you or me that likes to do this transaction, we got to tread lightly when we try to reach out to them for a trade. Because he still will. The dude's got like, 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's got 9 waiver wire transactions with a trade. And that was just in the last 30 days. So he's had a few trades already. So he absolutely does it, but you definitely got to bring your A game when you go talk to him.
Yeah, I agree with you. Obviously, things have to happen with him to make a move. However, he's obviously susceptible to certain things. Like, I mean, he knows a good trade in general. Now, I will tell you, I think he also tries to get greedy. And I will tell you that might beat him in the long run because if you get greedy with me too much, I won't trade with you. And I have a problem not trading with somebody, obviously. There's only 2 people that have more transactions than me, and that's you and – the Godfather, I think, which I'll be waiver wire warriors. So
yeah, but I did. I'm maybe, that waiver wire that tries to bait people. I think I did 10 wide receiver transactions in one night just to see if you dropped Sony Michel, and you did.
Well, I did that for a reason because I was waiting for you to guess. So, and I knew one of them would end up being happening. But with him, I mean, he's got a really good team, and I think there's a real thin line between the top 4. I truly believe that. And I think he's got as good team as anybody, except for he's got some real ifs. And one of them is at running back because,
oh man, he needs a running
after
back.
Kamara. Yeah. If after Kamara, what happens? I mean, and Kamara could very easily be a timeshare guy. You've seen Latavius Murray blow up. I mean, they blew up for like 5 games. So, and Ali Kamara, I mean, at one time, I think Alabama had the greatest running back core on the planet with Kenyon Drake, Alvin Kamara.
No. Kamara's with Tennessee.
No, but he was with Alabama
was
first.
He really?
You want to bet me?
I'm going to bet nothing if I ain't sure. But we are going to – I'm going to tell you about it I got with Kamara. So he went to Alabama first.
Yep, transferred. Him and Kenyon Drake, both.
Amen.
So you had Kamara, Kenyon Drake,
probably Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry, and who's the other kid that's at? Man, he was with Miami for a long time, and now he's with the Buffalo Bills. What's his freaking name? Caused a big fumble against Oklahoma in 2013 Sugar Bowl.
Oh man, I can't think off the top of my head, but yeah, that dude. Oh, I know.
It was. Running back group. I mean, it was ridiculous.
But I'll tell you this with Alvin. Go ahead.
Say again.
With Alvin Kamara, I got a bet right now with the Jayhawk, with the stud, that he will finish in our league top 2. It's going to be CMC and then him. Oh, and he's got the list. He's the bookie. He keeps hold of all the trades that we've done because I've got my little CTE brain and forget stuff. But I really think that with a healthy Alvin Kamara on that team, he is going to dominate again. I think he's the bounce back candidate as far as one that didn't necessarily drop off. I know people talk about Robert Woods as a bounce back, but he had 90 receptions. So I kind of group for those type of categories. I think Alvin Kamara is going to be the RB2 at the end of this season if it plays out. I'm a big fan of him. He's just got to stay healthy.
Very easy. I'm with a – so I've got a guy on my roster who I think both my guys could be a top five running back, and I truly believe that. Joe Mixon is only second to Zeke over the last, like, 3 years of running for first downs, and he's had a dog shit offensive line. So they shored that up. He's going
to
be better.
He needs to get more targets receiving. What does he average, like 30 receptions a year?
Well, I think he had 40, but you got to think last 2 years he's missed 6 games.
True.
So, you want to talk about a guy that turns it on at the end of the season, and you're glad he's on your fantasy football team is Joe Mixon.
He's almost worth trading, and you don't even have to play him until the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, because fantasy playoffs, I'm gonna ride that dude. I mean, he's gonna score 27 points.
Oh, he's like a 30-point guy in our league. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, he can blow up. But I feel the exact same way about Sanders. And the reason why the Philadelphia Eagles went after him is they really feel like he's Saquon Barkley with, you know, as good as hands. Not, he ain't got those leg trunks. Let's be real. Saquon Barkley's got trunks for legs. But he's scary. And I think they really figured that out towards the end of the season. And that dude got, 35 touches in 2 games. 35 touches out of any running back. You're loving, especially when there's
– and you know I'm big against Coach Peterson. You know my love for Sanders, but I'm still hesitant with that coaching staff. But however, I still would trade for Sanders. It's obvious because I've sent you, in your opinion, lowball offers, but I'm still hesitant to think that they're not going to use Scott and Clement. If Clement's still around, I know you mentioned that, and you kind of convinced me on that one. But
you don't sign a 1-year deal, $1 million cap space.
Yeah.
To a guy that's really been special because Clement plays special teams. Look at it. I mean, he plays tons of it.
That's huge.
Right.
And that's kind of my reason.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
That he's going to stay on the team is that he is a special teams contributor. But Scott was like, you look at Matthew Berry's top 100 things that just dropped today or yesterday. And he kind of mentions what Scott did in those last few weeks and how he averaged out. However, you look at Eckler, you look at Melvin Gordon last year together, and Miles Sanders was producing the exact same type of production, even with Scott getting his 6 receptions a game. So I'm with you. I think he's definitely going to break the mold and break that trend of the big running back committee, 30% usage for all 3 running backs. He's going to hit over that 50% usage. But is he going to get to that? Is he going to get to that Leonard Fournette type? Is he going to concede passing downs to Scott every drive, or is he going to be utilized as a true workhorse? And I'm personally hesitant against that, but he's definitely trade bait. And I guarantee you every single owner in our league wants him. They would absolutely take him on their team. They would not hesitate to grab him if you dropped him.
I've had plenty of offers. The thing is, I'm not going to take a low ball offer for a guy that put up 270 points as a rookie in a legit timeshare moment because they thought
Jordan Howard.
They thought Jordan Howard was for real.
Jordan Howard.
They thought he was for real. And so as soon as Jordan Howard got hurt, Miles Sanders, they're like, well, we really do have a stud here. And unless you're Washington, has one of the best front sevens in football. Or they did last year. The dude scored 40 points on him. So
it kind of sounds like, I mean, we just brought him up. We're on Jayhawk, the Jayhawk, the stud right now. So it kind of sounds like y'all might be having some trade discussions going on with this man. So it'd be interesting.
Well, we do have
it.
You know, we'll see what happens.
I don't want to. I don't want to delve too deep into it because I don't want to give away what y'all do. But you can see the history behind the way he does his transactions and his trades. He's calculated. He makes sure who's in his division. Would it help them? Would it help him? He looks at the weeks ahead and he understands that well, this person's playing this person, and even though he's not playing them, it could potentially affect that win and knock him into a different seed, because the guy doesn't miss the playoffs. So he definitely calculates things all the way out. And this is one of the – he's the only one other than me in this era of our league that's made it to the championship more than once. So I got a lot of respect for him. I like to disagree with him just to push his buttons, but the guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Like I said, he's got a solid team, so he's got some spots that could help him, you know, here and there. But we'll see what he ends up doing, you know. And then
then
you got other guys. We've got what, three people left? You, me, and the Godfather.
We got four people left. Yeah, we might end up having to do a session three, but we'll try to browse through this thing real fast, because I think we've touched on you and me pretty well. But for the Godfather, the man, the myth, the legend, he's been around since the conception of the league, well before we were. He lives, dies, and breeds on trades, transactions. He never settles. He never quits. He's a driving force. You might think that he's out of contention, and the next thing you know, he has wide receiver one stacked all the way through. He had to step away for a little bit, and he took over his team, and you look at the depth. I know he was 0-2, but he still was one of the leading point scorers in the league when it was 0-2. But the depth allowed you to make some phenomenal trades. So historically, he is one of the best to ever play the game. He won it before this new era of group people started. It's can he come back in? It's almost like that last Survivor on CBS that came out where they got all these winners and it just got dominated by all the new people, and all the old Survivor champions got chopped off right away. Can he come in with this new group of fresh young bloods, even though some of us are somewhat old? Congratulations on your retirement, Chief. And compete. Can he still compete? And he's making the moves, but he's making the moves in his old blood ways. So it's going to be interesting to see how that ties in with our level of play with the rest of these owners.
Yeah. So in aspect, right? Obviously, like, I know what team I took over, and I know what he did prior to me taking his team over a couple of years ago. I will tell you, I don't think he had a very good draft. I think he's done very well when it comes to his trades. I don't know if he won the AJ Green trade, because I like Slayton
and Mike. And I like Mike Williams a lot, and he gave up both of them for AJ Green.
I don't like Tyrod Taylor. If I knew Herbert was who they hope he is, then I like Mike Williams. But because Herbert he has legit howitzer connected to him. That dude has a cannon for an arm. And I was a Herbert hater until I watched a lot of tape on him recently over the last six. So like I was saying, he has a howitzer connected to his arm, and I am a massive fan of Herbert if he's used correctly. And let's be real, I'm not a Phillip Rivers fan. I mean, Phillip Rivers has been a top 10 quarterback in fantasy one time.
The dude's never topped 30 points per game in a standard ESPN league ever.
There you go. Quarterback. So
he has a consistent floor, but his ceiling is garbage.
Yeah, not a good ceiling. And that's where I feel like, hey, if we had, you know, where we didn't have the roster limits, I'm grabbing Herbert. You know, he's my third quarterback. I think that he takes the job, just like we knew Baker Mayfield was going to take a job from Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor's days are numbered. You know, if you watched, dude, Tyrod Taylor was trash with the Cleveland Browns.
And he was trash, but he did really well. If you look at Sammy Watkins' days with Tyrod Taylor.
No. Tell me this. I will agree.
And that's why you trade. That's why you traded for Keenan Allen. And if I want to say, like, who resembles who more, I think Keenan Allen resembles more of Sammy Watkins than Mike Williams does Sammy Watkins.
No, Keenan Allen, I think, is one of the greatest route runners.
If not the best.
If not the best in the league.
100% agree with you.
Ridiculous. It is embarrassing, you know. And
now, is Tyrod Taylor a step up? Because we're talking this is Tyrod Taylor a step up from Phillip Rivers to give Keenan Allen ball? Because one of the best route runners was still scoring under 10 points a game consistently last season. And that's one of the biggest trades between you two, you, the Godfather, and the Chief, is Keenan Allen, Hayden Hurst, which I really thought that was smooth that you got Hayden Hurst, for Robert Woods, who's a 90 reception on a bad year, on a high powered offense, and then Harrison Smith, a top five safety. So can Keenan Allen produce better with Tyrod Taylor, or do you think Justin Herbert comes in right away and just relies on Keenan Allen?
I'll tell you what, I am praying Tyrod Taylor, I don't know, breaks an ankle, because I think Herbert would just stare at him all day long, and 120 receptions later, Keenan Allen rides and I just ride him. Because let's be real, he's going to get his. It don't matter what corner guards him. You know, can we name elite corners in this division right now?
Nope.
No. So, I mean, not I will take it, dude.
The Chargers.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm like you said, they got. You know, you have King and stuff like that. You've got Derwin James in the backfield. But I'm not trying to be rude here, but the Kansas City Chiefs corners, Tre'Davious Ward on one side, Fuller is not who he used to be, obviously, which he might even be gone. I don't even know. But
that's the bad thing about cornerbacks is they can have a good season, but it's such a hard position to play. It's so hard to maintain your consistency.
That dude, if he can stay healthy, he's ageless, man. He's scary, and that's why I like Keno. So, yeah, do I think he might have got the better end of the trade at the time, but I ended up getting Higbee out of it, so I was perfectly fine with that.
Yep, you did get Higbee later on. And again, like that's what goes with the Godfather, and you'll see that with the golfer. You'll see that with me. The Godfather, and you'll see that with you, is we all will trade and not it's like we care, we want to be better, but we don't want to sacrifice people, but we're not afraid to sacrifice the Keenan Allens, the Hayden Hurst, who's coming into a potential top three tight end points per game position, in order to get that Robert Woods and a top five safety in Harrison Smith. And those are the type of things that don't be scared about who won the trade. Go with your gut and work on improving your team. And if after the trade you realize, dang, then move on to the next one. Don't sulk and just move on to the next and keep going. And you see that. I mean, this guy's got the most transactions out of all of us right now. And he doesn't quit. And I love that. I love that he's back and lights a fire under my ass.
Like you said, I've watched him add and drop a running back four times in a row. And
four
I'm like,
times in a row.
I'm like, man, you know, what are we doing here, Godfather? Like, I mean, the rest of us are sleeping and I'm watching these transactions, you know, because obviously you're on one side of the coast, he's on the other, and you're seeing these freaking transactions at midnight. Like, what are you doing?
Hey, you know I keep my phone on loud. I do not put that on silent.
Right.
First come, first serve. So,
I mean, no, it was hilarious.
Absolutely. So I'm really glad he's back and he brings depth to our league and a lot of excitement with the ad drops and the willingness to trade. So we're already 5 minutes into this podcast. I want to pause real fast and say, welcome to season one, episode two, part three. We will wrap up this one. I promise you. we time out with this anchor app. I wasn't aware of that when we got going, but we got three people left, the Foreigner, and then we're going to go off the Chief and the Goat, which is our guest, the Chief, and then myself, and which would wrap up pretty fast. But the Foreigner, prior stud, the guy's extremely calculated. We talked about the pen is mightier being calculated. The Foreigner is extremely calculated. This guy has been overseas for the past few years, so to get a hold of him, you got to get him during this certain time zone. And I live over here on the West Coast, and it hits around 10 o'clock at night. And I know he's up for his coffee or he's up for his morning piss. And it's like, that's the time I get him. And when does he stay up? So you really have to understand his schedule and what he likes in order to have that communication start. You have to have a communication with him instead of just sending a trade for things to go down with him, at least from my experience. The guy knows what he's doing. It's scary. It's almost like if he comes to you with an offer, you sit back and be like, well, what is he doing? Because his team's always good. So what am I not seeing in the player that I have? However, comma, the dude only has one transaction, and that's back in May. And that was before I opened up waivers to everybody. So it was a forced transaction, long story short. Don't need to go into it. So he has done nothing this offseason. Does that need to change?
Yes and no. I think that because and I talked about this before, if somebody sits back and you see a bunch of transactions happen, teams get better, teams get worse. I do think a few teams have gotten worse in this aspect. I think there's three or four teams that have shot up the rankings from where they were when they started after the draft. And I think he has sat a little bit longer than I expected, you know, because I've done plenty of trades with him before in the past. It's funny because I know that he listens to my podcast. And
say, what's your
he's
podcast
one of the very
again?
First
what's
people. The IDP 411.
That's right.
So, and it's pretty nice to know that, you know, you got people that even in your own group that listen to your podcast. And he was one of the very first of all of us to listen to the actual podcast through Anchor. And, you know, we're up to 37 episodes in that, and I've got another 25 episodes of for my rookie IDP 411 with another 20 to go. So, you know that he is calculated, so I can't actually talk too much about what I want to do on my other podcast because I'm worried that he's just going to come right over top of me, like, well, I'm just going to use this against you. And because, I mean, that's all it takes, you know.
I mean, let's be fair. What's his team name? It's Joe McSotic right now. So the guy's calculated. He's got the mullet probably because I haven't seen him since this COVID-19. You know he's waiting for – Joe Mixon. He's got to want Joe Mixon on this.
Well, and that's the thing is, how do you not want Joe Mixon if you have your name is Joe McSotic? Because my name is Joe McSotic in another league. And it's funny because I almost say, I don't know who changed it first because I was talking to somebody about it. I'm like, as soon as this, obviously I'm from Oklahoma, Mixon went to here, and then this whole Joe McSotic thing, or, you know, happened here in Oklahoma. So I'm a Mixon truther, but my team name goes with who I am, right? I have Baker Mayfield and Joe Mixon. And if I trade him, I'm going to have to change my name because it's Bacon Mixtape.
Right? Yep.
So if I trade one of them, I'm changing my name, right? And I mean, last year I was bought Baker of Chains, and Baker Mayfield never left my team. And no matter how bad of a struggle he had, he would still have a 35-point game against because he had the schedule for me
you
to keep him.
You were going to live and, or die of Baker Mayfield.
And I was. And I might do the same this year, you know, and which is interesting. I know that I've had more offers for Kyler Murray than Baker Mayfield because I knew that I could get Baker Mayfield late, knowing that I expect 32-10 season out of him with his new head coach. So, yes, Kyler Murray's on the table, but he ain't cheap. Let's not get this twisted. He's going to be top four running.
Some of the trade offers you've done. We'll go ahead and go. So, we'll shift over to us and for time's sake. But the foreigner, the guy knows what he's doing. I respect his game a ton. I appreciate his side chats with me. When we don't see the eye to eye,
I just wish
he's very respectful on everything. So I got a lot of love for his game.
You guys, so I want one or two guys that he has that, and it's about the only two guys that I've traded, you know, requested a trade for, and he's turned me down twice. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean,
I've got a plan.
You get the bad news about David Montgomery popping up on the feeds and says, so I shoot him a trade offer, it gets denied. I think he knows his stuff. I mean, David Montgomery going into the draft for Iowa State led the nation in broken tackles, and that didn't translate to his rookie season. But I think the times are changing, and he's going to go back straight to that. So I think you remember Todd Gurley had all that hype and did well his rookie season, and then kind of shit himself. And excuse my language, but Hedy allowed me. I got Todd Gurley in the third round when we did a redraft that year. He exploded. David Montgomery, I see that happening at some point in the next couple of years for David Montgomery.
Not with that coach.
Maybe it takes a coaching change to happen. It took a coaching change to happen for Todd Gurley. It could take a coaching change to happen for David Montgomery. So I'm hoping he doesn't do well this year, so I can maybe get him, but we'll see. But I got love for David Montgomery. And then obviously Tyreek Hill, but I don't think he trades Tyreek Hill at all. I know there's a lot of love for DJ Chark out there in the fantasy world, but he's a touchdown dependent guy. We talk about transactions and trades.
I'm not a Chark guy.
We talk about transaction trades and what you did to make your team better. And I traded Chark away for Kenny G. And I know Kenny G was up and down last year, but I think it was the right call for me.
Still right trade. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you made the right move.
No, I didn't get Leonard Fournette for that one.
I don't know. I think that might have been – that was one of your best moves last year to get you – it might have been the difference in you making the chip, to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Or maybe in the playoffs, because I was a wild card. I did not win my division last year. But the fantasy gods never stir me wrong. This is where we'll get to the two of us. Very active, very opinionated, stat-driven. However, you get to a certain point where you still got to just – come up with your own opinion on things moving forward. And you and I go at it all the time, and it's pretty funny to see who wins off of it. But the one thing that I got going for me, even though I'm probably wrong.
Note to self, when we do
episode 4, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if I'm accidentally hanging up. And I apologize. Hopefully we can figure this thing out and these things can last. Find a different podcast site to get this thing going.
I'll help you out with that aspect. You know, we do one thing and then we posted the whole thing to Anchor. So I can help you with that, no problem. So episode 4. Yeah. hey, it's just more hits on your playlist. Right?
Let's go, baby.
Let's go.
So yeah, I got the fantasy gods on my side, and I don't know how, but I make it to the championship every year. So. It's funny. Everyone says this year's different. This year's different. And when we look at our division, I know we said, and you and I are in the division with the Rook, who we're not worried about at all. Sorry, Rook. And then the golfer, who just his team looks dominant. But I still think out of the division winner, it's between me and you. I'm always in it no matter what, even if my team's crappy, because at the end of the year, I'm going to do what it takes to make the playoffs. And I always make it to the championship. It's a fact. But who's going to win the division? That's a toss-up. Your team's pretty dominant, and you've already made a ton of trades.
Yeah, I have made a ton of trades. I'm never settling. That's always a thing. Until I get to a point, and you'll see it, I'm like, nope, I'm done. And I'm not there, and I very easily could be there. I mean, I could stop right now and honestly feel like I could ride this thing right to the playoffs, no problem. Barring injuries. But again, I take guys who are not injury prone and guys who have a massive ceiling and a low and a high floor. So that's what I look for. If I can get a guy that, you know, maybe he's not going to have a monster week, but he's 15 to 18 points, I will take 18 to 20 points out of every single player and ride it to the championship. It's 300 point week. So
You get 14 players that you submit in your lineup. If you average 20 points, that's 280 points. 280 points through 16 weeks will make you a top 5, top 10, if not top 5, all-time point scorer. So that's your goal. 100% agree with you. Don't worry about that ceiling. Focus on that floor. Focus on non-injuries. Players, so you can get that 18 to 20 points per player every time.
So, here's my thing about, you know, and this goes back to you with having Lamar. Lamar can give you a 45 point game, right? Great. But here's the thing. If I can trade him for three players that are going to give me 20, he's gone. So,
yeah.
Because all it takes is one injury for you to be toasted. And that's where I go after players that, hey, you know, even though you're not going to give me 35 points every week, if you get injured, I can replace you. So that's where a lot of my philosophy is. And, you know, sure, I shouldn't have to put that out there. And I've got plenty of big names on my team. Let's not get this twisted. But I've got guys that I'm not going to – not worry about giving me a goose egg this week. So – and that's the biggest part to me. So I'm not –
And my biggest weakness is obviously the wide receiving core, which is why I traded for Hollywood Brown, who only played 50% of the snaps last year and still had over 500 receiving yards – or close to 500, I'm sorry, and 40-something receptions. But I'm relying on freaking Devontae Parker and Brandon Cooks filling the – not filling the Hopkins role, but eating up some of the targets that were left. And Lamar, I'm relying on Lamar Jackson to fill that hole of the gap of points missed. So I get what you're saying. Could I trade Lamar Jackson away to get a top wide receiver? However,
well, here's my question about Brandon Cooks.
I don't think
Cooks. I can. Since you brought Brandon Cooks up, have you seen a player in NFL history get traded as many times as he has for a first round draft pick?
Have you seen him consistently get 1,000 yards every season, though?
Yeah. I mean, you got to think about it. Let's talk about his quarterbacks. First-round draft pick, the GOAT, and arguably a guy right behind the GOAT and a top-five quarterback of all time. So, and then Jared Goff, who's a first-round draft pick.
But Deshaun Watson's pretty good, too.
And now we go to Deshaun Watson. We're talking about four quarterbacks that when it's all said and done, could very easily, at least two of them, are going to be in the hall, right? Yes. And if the other two keep the pace that they're keeping, they're going to join him. So I'm telling you, like, are we talking about how good this player is or how good
his opportunity. We're talking about his opportunities. We know he's a 4-3 guy. We know he runs routes well, and he's short. He fits that Antonio Brown, like, frame, right? Marquise Brown, Antonio Brown frame. I'm trying to look at those guys. I still got my big body in Justin Jefferson, not this year. I got my big body in Devontae Parker this year. And all I'm looking for my wide receivers this year, which is so different than previous years, I'm looking for, can I get 15 points a game from the two that I start? Because on the running back, I'm obviously starting Dalvin Cook, and I will find a running back to start second. That can still get me 15 to 20 points.
Like I said, if you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire and he doesn't share time, but I'm with you. I'm a Damien Williams truther. When he has had his opportunity, that
Boomer.
Is, yeah, obviously, and he's a Sooner. So, he's not a bust guy. I mean, Damien Williams doesn't get hurt. I mean, when he plays, dude, he's dynamite. And that's why CEH scares me, you know, because which CEH are you going to get, you know, Kareem Hunt, or are you going to get the guy that's going to wait behind Damien Williams a little bit longer?
Yep. So and that's why you saw me just today pick up Damien Williams. The guy should have been Super Bowl MVP. We'll see if I got to
agree
him,
with you.
I'm not hesitant to drop this. And this is another thing. This is what makes great teams great with transactions. I'm not afraid of dropping Marquise Brown, Brandon Cooks, Justin Jefferson, Christian Kirk, or Devontae Parker to pick up the wide receivers I need that I find on waivers, even if they're only good for this season.
That week.
I don't care about dynasty. I care about winning in the now. I've said that so many times, and yet we still see drafts where we draft all these rookies because – oh, it's wait for year three or wait for year five. Play the game to win right now, and time will come for you to still get those opportunity big-name wide receivers. Don't be so focused on a name like you said earlier, and be focused on how you can improve your team and your points per game with every lineup that you submit.
Yep, agreed. And that my problem again, my problem last year, I had too many great floor guys, and I was just, should I play this person or not? And it cost me 3-4 games last year, and
it probably cost you the first round.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed, 100% agree with you.
Which is why, like, this new approach, I'm kind of taking the handcuff role and kind of forcing my hand to
but rely can you on. Handcuff role? That's the problem. You can't – because with the roster limits, the handcuff role kind of isn't there.
And this is what I'm starting off with. If things change, I know with the stupid position limit that we can – there's going to be people I could pick up. And then I could easily drop that mentality and move forward. Dude, I got Evan Ingram's backup tight end right now. I've never done that. I've never rostered more than one tight end, but with the roster position limits, I got more defensive linemen than I've ever had. I got more DBs I've ever had and more tight ends that I've ever had. So
and one
it itches me. And one quarterback.
Yeah. So like I said, between you and me, we've always, you know, come at each other a little bit. I mean, we do in the group me probably more than anybody else, but that's because we've known each other so long, and I'm not going to get upset and you're not going to get upset, but you know, there's a lot of times we agree with each other more than disagree with each other. Off
absolutely.
The thing, you know, and you even brought up to me is like, you know, people need their own opinion, and I'll agree with you. But a lot of times when I say my opinion, it ain't, and it's kind of like your opinion. You do a lot of research just like I do. But you're the difference of role in you play compared to what I play, you'll go bash a player just to see if that person is going to waver on that guy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And here comes the trade. You're like, listen, bro, I'm not moving on Miles Sanders. Like, it's not happening. Right?
It's like unless Ed Oliver is being talked about a snap rotation right now. I sent Billy. No, I'm Billy the Goat. I sent the golfer a trade. And I was like, look at Ed Oliver, and give him to me. Here's stupid Clowney who hasn't signed with a team yet.
Yeah, I mean, I like Ed Oliver. You know that if you guys have ever listened to my podcast, I'm an Ed Oliver truther for sure. But they've brought in a lot around Ed Oliver to kind of scare me a little bit of him. Even though he's a freak athlete. I mean,
listen, golfer, listen to that. I know you. I know you love the Chiefs. So listen to that. Give them to me. So, I want them.
So and he will just like me. The golfer, every player is tradable for the right price.
Absolutely.
But when it comes to you, I don't think every player is tradable.
So, I gotta wait for the season and see how my wide receivers stack first before
I told him though
Lamar Jackson.
I thought you won that trade with him recently.
Yeah.
And I told him right away, I'm like, I just don't get this. I think that he lost two trades in a row and then won one with me. But I don't – when it's all said and done, Kenneth Murray is going to have 140 tackles, and I'm not even worried about it. So because he's going to truth out in that.
We can end on that disagreement because coaching staff, until they prove otherwise that they play more than 80% for their top linebacker, I just got to bet against it 100% of the time.
I'm going to bet against it, but their top linebacker has not been a true middle linebacker ever. But when's the last true middle linebacker they've had at middle linebacker with that staff?
Was it Junior? Oh, with that staff. I don't know. Never?
Yeah. Never. They haven't because they put Thomas Davis there last year. Thomas Davis is an outside linebacker all day, every day. They put him in middle linebacker because of his experience.
Yeah.
Not because he deserved and can run a defense.
Yeah.
Because if he could, he would still be at Carolina.
He absolutely would. You're 100% right. And they wouldn't have drafted Shaq.
Exactly. And and that's the thing is if people don't remember, Shaq Thompson was a safety coming out of college.
Yep.
And he's the number one linebacker at Carolina now. So people can hate and all they want. You don't give up two draft picks to move up in the first round to go get a middle linebacker unless you know he's going to be your guy. And then you give him Sean Marion Jersey. So I'm telling you right now, we have a small bet, 80% of snaps. I'm not even worried about it.
I'm going to get that whiskey. I'm going to get that whiskey. It's going to taste so smooth.
The only whiskey you're going to be drinking is if I offer you a glass that you paid for.
So. All right, Chief. Well, hey, man, I want to say thanks. You're going to have to help me on figuring out how to get these four parts together into one. And thanks a lot for being a part of episode two. I appreciate your experience from the podcasting community. And I'm looking forward to the next ones that we got going. And the other guest speaker that was coming in, I tried getting the golfer in, but the dude's older than probably the Godfather and doesn't even know how to click open his phone. So like, we got to give the Rook some transaction 101 training. Maybe we can tell you for some training for podcasting. Well,
he went golfing today. So there's that.
Yeah. So did the Godfather.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, all right. Well, take care, man. Thanks for the help.
Yep. Thank you.
All right.